Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by His Spirit. His return is soon, and He's going to bless those that He find doing His will. This is a time to be very excited about. And I believe the Lord has a great plan in place for those that we can be a blessing to, those that will hear Him. And He'll give us what to say to our loved ones. Hopefully they'll come to Him and leave with us in the rapture. I believe in the rapture of the church. There are many doctrines out there, and some believe it. Some say the church will be raptured in the middle of the tribulation. And some say that there'll be no tribulation. I mean, there'll be no rapture. But that's not the way it is. The way it is the Lord's going to come back. His return is soon. Just like Apostle Paul said, we will meet Him in the air, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then there will be a judgment on the earth for 7 years. And the middle of it will be worse. And I also believe there will be a rapture in the middle of the tribulation, because the 144,000 faithful Jewish evangelists will be seen in heaven along with many other saints. And some will have been martyred, and some, will be raptured too. But the church will be raptured at the beginning of the tribulation. And I wouldn't try to, hopefully, you know, wait. Some people will try, will I get raptured in the second? No, don't. You will be, those that reject Christ now will be deceived, according to Paul's writing, by the Antichrist and by his false prophet. Satan is very tricky. If people won't leave deception alone now, they're not going to leave it alone later, because their heart, it's the heart problem. Man won't repent. If people will repent, they can avoid much trouble. It's not God's will that you go through problems unnecessarily. It's not His will that you're persecuted, but it's inevitable because we're in a warfare. Now, the persecution we deal with is we can easily overcome if we follow the instructions of the Word of God. And remember, His grace is sufficient for us. The problem is people don't know what's included in the grace of God. And because of a lack of knowledge, if you don't know what's yours, you won't apply the Word in that area of your life. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. Most people believe God for salvation, and many don't believe Him for healing when they need to. And some people don't believe Him for finances when they need to. And some people don't believe God for protection when they can and when they need to. People walk right into traps because they don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of a man they made a movie about him. He wanted to serve God. He went on the mission field. And he got killed. But he wasn't prepared. See, I wouldn't go on a mission field just because I want to. You have to be trained first. Now, God may have called him to the mission field, but you can go too early. There's a road you have to walk first. Some people jump out in ministry. They want to, you know, it's not a 4-year program. You know how you go to college, and then when you finish, you get a job somewhere, and you start making money and start paying your loan back. All right. A lot of people go to Bible college, and when they finish, they want an instant church. But if God build the house, it's going to work. If man build the house, it's not going to work. It's a vain labor. And it may sound harsh to say that an honorable man got killed, and he shouldn't have gotten killed. The people he went to help killed him. But you know, the Lord will train you, and He'll send you where you'll be effective. Every minister won't be effective in every place. They'll be effective where God sent them. They'll have an anointing for it. If you don't have an anointing for it, then you'll have to believe for everything you need by faith. And if you're not trained properly, it won't work right. See, if you're trained, you'll be able to operate under the anointing and by faith. Jesus, everywhere he went where the Father sent him. The Lord had a plan, and he walked the whole plan out. And ministers see other ministers prospering and going forward, and they want to do the same thing. And you can't ask a man how to do it because he don't know. Nobody knows how your roadmap would be. Nobody knows but the Holy Spirit. I don't know. If somebody say, how do I make my ministry successful? All I could do is say, follow God. He has a plan. You're just going to have to go in his presence. And as he revealed the plan, do the plan. That's what I tell people. That was my message for years. And because people don't want to go through the process of getting to know God, which they should, how can you represent God if you don't know him? And I knew I didn't know what to do, but some people still think they know what to do. And that's their biggest problem. And the enemy, when you get out there on the battleground and you're not trained, you get killed. You get hurt unnecessarily. And it's harder to learn in that environment. It's easier to learn where God is sending you to be trained. People think narrowly. They think we follow a narrow path. But people think that everything is going to be all right according to what they know. And what they know is not enough. And the reason I say that is because people think that they have enough information already. Pride looks within. You can't judge what's coming according to what to your past. You know, I lived in a good neighborhood. I saw a lot of good examples. And, you know, in my world, everything was going to be good. I thought people were good. I mean, not perfect, but I thought people were decent. But when I had to operate outside my neighborhood as a grown man in my own business, I worked at people's houses, and I saw otherwise. And the Lord trained me. He let me see what was out there and the problems that exist, everyday problems that exist. And I wanted to help, so I had to learn from the Lord. Thinking the way I did before I left my neighborhood wouldn't have worked for me, because I thought people would do right by me. I thought people, I didn't know what was out. I found out there was a lot of wolves outside the fold. People would, you know, would try to rip you off. I ran into all kind of things out there. And in the work field, I ran into some more stuff. And people are groomed by the world. And they operate by the world. And when you do the will of God, you start a ruckus. And the Lord had to train me. We have to be trained. Cult religion has survived so long because of a lack of knowledge. Cult, you know, a good example of cult religion is when Peter and John, when they went to the beautiful gate, and the lame man was healed. Cult religion didn't like it. They pulled Peter aside and scolded him. And when they saw the man standing, now this is Acts chapter 4. When they saw the lame man standing there and the boldness of Peter, they knew he had been with Jesus. They could say nothing against the notable miracle. And then they were afraid of the people. And they took him aside privately and said, don't preach any more in that name. And Peter said, I can't but speak. That's the voice of cold religion. It's a persuasion. And more people were persuaded by that than the living miracles of God. Now, thousands got saved. Now, this is the remnant that Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah chapter 6. They'll be like the substance in an oak tree that brings it to life in the spring. Now they'll be received and be eaten. They'll be received by God in the end. But the rest were blinded. So what happened was, no, as long as Peter and the 12 were alive and Paul were on the scene, and the disciples of the Gentiles along with Paul, see, that was 12 disciples of the Gentiles too. Timothy was one of them. They were apostles and they did the works of God. When they died out, then people came in, they creeped in and taught cold religion. And the reason it survived is it's infectious. It's a compromise. And people love compromise. They like an easy path. They don't want to make a ruckus. But if when you do God's work, you're fighting Satan and you make him angry and you stir people up that's negative. And when you talk about going to God's presence, reading the Word of God, studying, praying, all these are the things that's necessary. And because people like an easy path, they want to be spoon-fed the Word of God. And if they had their way, they'd have somebody to chew it up for them, so to speak. And the enemy knows this. So, you know, what his countermeasure against real joy and peace, which comes from obeying God, his countermeasure is a slumber comfort. Just sit back in the pew, don't do anything, don't wait on God. It all sounds good and religious, but it's wrong. Just don't do anything. Now, when the devil say wait on God, he means don't do anything. Sit on the sideline, because he knows for a fact that if you don't pray and if you don't seek the Lord and if you're not yearning to do His will, you're inactive. And you won't do anything for God, and God won't choose you to do anything worth doing because you're worldly. But those that love God, see, everybody that the Lord called, they were actively doing something. Some people just want a good life and they don't want to serve God. They don't want to do the living works. But if you will at least live by the principles, you are doing the living works. The principles of God alone, kindness, love, and generosity. If you live according to the fruits of the Spirit, you'll still bring people to life over time, even though you're not in an active ministry. And then if you pay tithes to church, you're a part of it. You're going to get rewarded for it because you're helping. When you serve in the church and do things like that, you don't have to go out and, being on fire for God is loving God. Having a relationship with God is not work to me. But the enemy will portray it as labor. I've heard so many preachers, when they talk about going to pray, they act like they're going to stack bricks. But it's not that way with me. I pray all day. I ask the Lord my questions. Most of my prayer is listening. Now, when I'm working, a lot of things break my concentration. But sometimes I get a chance to work alone and I'm doing something that doesn't require a lot of focus. You know, if I'm diagnosing, my concentration is broken. But if I know what the problem is, I know how to fix it. I don't have to concentrate. I just do the work. You know, mechanic work, sometimes it's tedious, sometimes it's easy. And while I'm working, I can listen to the Word of God and concentrate on it and still do the work that I have to do. But when I'm diagnosing, my concentration is divided. And even with that, I still pray. But some people, and when I'm on my off day and I'm praying, I can just pray and enjoy the Lord's presence. I ask Him all kind of questions, and sometimes He'll start giving me a teaching. Sometimes He'll answer some of my questions, and we'll dialogue a while. And it helps. When you know God, your ministry work is easy. But if you look at the things of God as a labor, a drudgery, then it's not the same. That's what it'll be in your eyes. And then it'll affect the way you draw near to God, and then that'll affect the way God draws near to you. Or anybody that will do something like that. But God loves his people. Anyway, the enemy always attempts to take the joy out of salvation. He wants you to believe that it's useless. And not pray for others and not pray problems through till you finish them, kill them. You can kill your problems. You can destroy the works of darkness in your life because you've been given great grace, and the grace of God is sufficient to get the job done. Whatever problem you have, the Lord has an answer for you. I love his will. I love the way he do things. When I consider the handiwork of God, I thank God for it. And I want to know more. I enjoy salvation. I enjoy all that God is doing. And everybody can. Any Christian can enjoy the presence of God. But if we don't follow him, there's a lot of things we're just not going to understand. And that's not God's fault. He loves us and he cares about us. And he has so much to say. Cold religion has tried to hinder man and change the focus of those that are on fire for God. And sometimes people that love God buy into cold religious teaching. Because, see, the Word of God, if you study the Word of God, especially the chapters and books, whole books, if you study that, whole chapters, what's going to happen is you're going to get an understanding. You won't be able to put it in words, but the scriptures will come together and form an understanding in you, and I call that the spirit of the Word. That's the heart of God's Word speaking to you, guiding you, showing you what's right and showing you what's wrong. When you study that way, because the Lord taught me to study chapters instead of scriptures. Now, at first I used to study scriptures all the time. But when I started studying chapters, the Holy Spirit had more to work with. And I started gaining understanding. And I started learning things in greater ways. And I started seeing what the Holy Spirit had to say from a greater perspective. And then I started detecting false statements, false teaching, false understanding, cold religion. I saw it for what it was. And then I did something about it. I didn't receive it. I had to work against the false precepts and things that I learned. I had to work against it. I spoke the word in place of it. And I drove it out of my life like the Philistines. Like the Canaanites. Like Israel should have driven out the Canaanites. Because the grace of God is sufficient to do something like that. And once you know, you have faith for the word of God now. You have faith. You will have faith in the spirit of the word and not false teaching. So as I came out of forms of deception, I did better and better. It even affects the way you receive healing and the way you receive finances. And, false perceptions is a doubt, and you have to drive it out. The Word of God helps you get the doubt out of your heart. And when you get the doubt out of your heart, you can operate in faith. Now, some acts of faith takes a duration. Some things are instant. And you'll have peace and joy in the duration until your faith is finished. If you believe God for $1,000, things have to happen. God will bless you with $1,000, but he'll set you up. You may get overtime, you may get extra work. If you have a business, you may get more business. Things have to happen. So that's why I say you'll have faith in the duration. Once you have faith for it, it's coming. It's being formed. Your faith keeps the whole process alive. And you'll have joy in the duration until it's finished. Now, if the work was already done, you're gonna get money in the mail or something anyway, the Lord can speed it up so you can get it when you need it. I thank the Lord for his work, his handiwork. He has a lot to say to us. And I want to see the people of God better off. I want to see us go forward in life. Core religion can't help us win. And this is necessary to get rid of that old ugly persuasion that breeds doubt. It causes all forms of doubt to just stalemate our lives. And we don't have to have our lives stalemated by doubt, by core religion. A lot of people are afraid to introduce people to healing because they think the people will get mad because people are not used to it because they were taught wrong. Remember, people corral themselves in their circles. And what happens is, in their world, healing don't exist. Now, you go to places where the word is taught, then people have faith for the things of God. In their world, healing exists and they enjoy it. But they're only strong to a certain point. Then there are those who go forward and learn. In their world, it's even greater. I love to listen to C.A. Roth. He said, in my world, it's natural to be supernatural. Well, that's because he was taught better. He received the word better. He expects it. He's not trying to put God in a box like cold religion does. Cold religion is not a good thing. It needs to be exposed for the lie that it is, and only the word of God can do so. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.